Hi FM, 101.9 megahertz of life.
We've, of course, been following the events over the weekend. The first was on Friday afternoon with the passing of Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky. There appeared not to be enough time to bury him on a Friday. That funeral took place yesterday with literally hundreds of thousands of people attending that funeral. We wanted to hear a little bit more about the funeral, about the customs in Israel. And in fact, one of you already sending a message asking the question why people in Israel are buried without a coffin. Well, to answer many of these questions and to talk about the events, Rabbi Ori Einhorn joins us. He is involved in the Kfar Shmariyahu community. Good morning. Thanks for joining us. How are you doing?
Good morning to all the listeners. It's great to be on your show. Hi.
Good morning. So can we just start with maybe a little bit of background? What was it that made Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky so unbelievably impactful on life in Israel and, in fact, for Jews around the world?
Rabbi Chaim Kanievsky was not a regular sage, as we call him, because he dedicated his whole life from a very young age to the study of the Holy Scriptures of the Torah in its entirety. And the fascinating thing about this individual is as they grow older, they take upon themselves different leadership roles. But he objected to any leadership role until 5 years ago, which means he stayed in his home and he studied the Holy Scriptures in their entirety. And it's hard to explain to the listeners what does it mean to study the Scriptures in its entirety, because we have 2,711 pages in the Talmud, and he studied them in a cycle of a year, which is almost impossible for any human being to do. The two tractates, Talmud Yerushalmi and Talmud Bavli, including the whole codex of the Jewish law and the whole Bible and everything that you can imagine. And that's what he was busy with his whole life. He lived in a tiny two-bedroom house, dilapidated, and he dedicated his whole life. And every time they offered him to start with a leadership role, be head of a high school, head of a huge yeshiva, or to take any political role, he rejected that. And after the passing away of Rav Steinman, which is a very big sage, he didn't have any choice, and people flocked to his really dilapidated home. I was there a few times, and he started receiving people only in the last 5 years of his life. And this was a truly huge sage that combined spirituality and minimized physicality to its minimum. And people recognized that. People recognized a pious individual, and they flocked to his home just to get his blessing and just to be in touch with a remarkable human being that humanity did not even perceive. That that's why more than between 500,000 and 700,000 people, it's hard to tell, but the crowds were huge yesterday, just to give him his last respects, and people wanted to be there. On another note, for those that were there, and we'll soon talk a little bit about the customs, There was a huge ceremony there of accepting the will of God, as we say it, Kabbalat Ol Malchut Shamayim in Hebrew. And when you hear almost 700,000 people recite the Shema together and basically praying the holy prayer of Yom Kippur, the Day of Atonement, together, it was really a remarkable type of an event, which basically shut down the whole middle of Israel. Well, everything was blocked, everything was shut down. People did not go to work yesterday. And the secular world did not understand, where did this guy pop up? I mean, we never heard about him. We never heard about him in the political sphere. And It was truly remarkable seeing hundreds and thousands droves of people coming. As a small story, I woke up at 4 o'clock in the morning yesterday, started traveling with my son, and it took us 7 hours to get there.
Wow.
And it was truly, truly remarkable. It's a once in a lifetime. There's only one big sage that had the same crowds, almost a little bit more, a little bit less. We can't count now, but that was a Rabbi Avadya Yosef. But he was more of he was a huge sage, no doubt about it. But he was very involved in the political sphere. So that was truly a remarkable event yesterday.
What is interesting is that whoever we have spoken to has referred to the fact that he wasn't political, he wasn't associated. Is that perhaps maybe one of the lessons of his life and his legacy? Is that the purity of learning and purity of religion can be protected a lot more without the political, without becoming involved politically?
That's for sure. I don't think he had that in mind, to be honest, because the big controversy that happened 3 years ago with COVID is that people came to him and asked him, should we shut down the schools? And he, in his piety, said, of course you should not shut down the schools, because Torah learning must go on. People took it as a political statement, but for him, it was like, that's my whole life and that's what we do. He himself catched COVID in the age of 91 and recovered after a week, a 91-year-old guy, because people said, they said to him, you got COVID. And he said, what is COVID exactly? And he just carried on. I mean, that was so of course it's not a political statement. It was just a testimony to
who he was.
What he was. Yeah, who he was.
Although that said, he was a very, very, very much a pro-vaxxer. He did a bit of an about turn on that, and of course, Pikuach Nefesh being a major, the sanctity of human life, being a major driver as well.
Yeah, and for him it was very simple, because when people said to him, listen, there's a vaccine that can save people. So for him it was straightforward. That's what he said. Of course, everybody should be vaccinated. And that's what table turned in the ultra-Orthodox community, because people started going back and forth, and you know, there's always the naysayers, etc. But for him it was like, is there a vaccination? Yes. Should we take it? Yes. It was very simple. But on the other hand, when first they asked him, should we shut it down? He said, of course not. So it's not about a political statement. It's just like there and now. What should we do about keeping the Torah learning going? Another remarkable thing, in 1991, when there was the Gulf War and all the schools were shut down, and they asked him, should we shut down the schools in the Gulf War? His statement is, I'm learning, you should learn also. So for him, it was very, it was about simplicity. There was no cheeky or some kind of a political maneuver. He was out of that. Those that surrounded him obviously utilized them, which was, there's a lot of controversy in Israel about it. But for him, as a human being, as someone that dedicated his life to the study of the scriptures, he didn't have that in his mind at all. He was disconnected from all of that. I think that's what made him a great individual, as a testimony of those that went after his...
So tell us about that. Tell us about the value or the reason that more than 500,000 people would attend a funeral. Is that part of a Jewish philosophy? Is that what is the concept of attending a funeral?
Attending a funeral is not only showing respect, but they want to be in contact, most likely with something that you cannot achieve in your life, most likely with something that you want to be, but you cannot be. It's a touch of spirituality that people will say, I really want to be that kind of an individual. And therefore, I pay my last respects to the level and goal that I can never achieve.
That's connection to greatness, in a way.
Yeah. It's a connection of greatness. It's a connection. But with him, it was a little bit more than that. It was a little bit, He touched every human being on the personal level. And there was literally hundreds of thousands of people that used to attend his home on a regular basis or even once in their lifetime, and they were touched by him because just being in his presence gave them power to see what's important in life. And that was something that people really, that's what really people were touched by. And that's why they came and gave him the last respects. Basically, he gave the last respects to themselves and saying, this is what I should have strived towards. And I have a little bit of a point of clinging on to. So I think that that was the major thing that people came. There were women, there were children, there were people in strollers. That it was really a fascinating type of event.
Absolutely amazing. And thank you for taking the time to speak to us about it, Rabbi Ori Einhorn, Rabbi of Hechal Habanim Shul Synagogue in Kfar Shmariyahu. Thank you for sharing your experience and your knowledge.